We can go ahead and say a prayer here. We can stand up. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. St. Vincent Ferrer, St. Jude, Our Lady of Victory, Our Lady of Sorrows, Our Lady of Help of Christians, St. Ignatius, and Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. So then, now on chapter 38 of the My Catholic Faith, the Holy Ghost, and a little Trinitarian theology here. Obviously, there's three persons in the Blessed Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. There's an interesting introduction. I think it's Frank Sheed's book. Was it Theology and Sanity? I think it is. In which he says, it is unfortunate the amount of ignorance there is concerning the Holy Ghost. He says, one time he was walking down the street and a lady talked to him and said, I feel so sorry for the Holy Ghost because he gets left out so much. People talk about God, they talk about the Jesus, the Son, they talk about the Father, but nobody talks about the Holy Ghost. I feel sorry for the poor Holy Ghost. And he points out that if you know your theology, whenever we speak of the Father, we're always speaking of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Whenever we speak of the Son, we're speaking of the Father and the Holy Ghost as to their nature, because the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Ghost is God. So as a result, you can never speak of one without the other, too. And so the Holy Ghost is never left out whenever we honor the Son and the Father. And it's the same with all three of them. Today we're speaking about the Holy Ghost. Well, this we are honoring at the same time the other two that are God, the Son and the Father. And so the Holy Ghost is not left out, which is sometimes believed that the Holy Ghost is left out. Nonetheless, it's necessary for us to consider theologically a little bit here the doctrine of the Church on the Holy Ghost. Now remember, as regards the Blessed Trinity, that these three are one in the same nature. So that whatever we divide up the Holy Trinity in order for us to be able to understand it better, in order for us to be able to say things that are true concerning the Trinity, but it actually doesn't give us, our human understanding doesn't give us a perfect, doesn't give us a true, complete understanding of the Trinity. Heaven is essentially going to consist of enjoying the presence and vision of the Holy Trinity forever. And we're going to be contemplating the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost and never fully comprehending what they are. But there are certain things that are basic that we do try to attribute. We call these attributions. We attribute things to the Father and we attribute things to the Son. We attribute things to the Holy Ghost, when in reality, all three are involved with all these actions. But nonetheless, in our catechisms, we generally try to note the attributions of the Trinity. And the first is the Father. And the Father, we attribute the Creator. We say the Father is the Creator, even though the Father, along with the Son and the Holy Ghost, created man. But we attribute fatherhood to creation. Therefore, we liken the creation of the universe to something that the Father did in relation to man. The reason why the Church makes these attributions is that in order to make it easier for us to see how the Blessed Trinity is always operating in our lives. So first of all, God the Father is our Creator. And then, of course, number two, God the Son is the Redeemer, died on the cross for our sins. And then number three, the Holy Ghost is the Sanctifier. So, Christ died for our sins, sent the Holy Ghost as the Sanctifier. And that's the most basic attribution that we normally give to the Blessed Trinity. The Father, the Creator, the Son, the Redeemer, and the Holy Ghost, the Sanctifier. We also say of the Holy Ghost, He is the Sanctifier, the one that makes us saints. That's why we call sanctifying grace the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. In fact, it's the indwelling of the Blessed Trinity. It's the indwelling of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But we call it the indwelling of the Holy Ghost because we attribute sanctification, holiness, to the Holy Ghost. And Jesus Christ makes the same attribution. So the attribution doesn't simply come from the church. It also comes from our Lord. He says, I will send the Paraclete. I will send the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost of the three persons is the one with the most number of names, which signify in various ways his role. So he's called the Paraclete, the Consoler. And then, of course, he is the soul of the church. We say the mystical body of Christ, its soul is the Holy Ghost. And the sanctifier, the consoler, the soul of the church, he is called the gift of the Father and the Son. He is called love. These are all various names. And then, of course, he is called the Ghost, the Holy Ghost, which means the breath. So it's the breath. He is the breath of the Father and the Son. And so these are some of the names given to the Holy Ghost. And so there we see that the Blessed Trinity is always operating throughout every action of God. When God created the world, it says His Spirit moved over the waters. There would be the Holy Ghost. He said, let there be light, that would be the Father. And light was made, that would be the Son. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are creating. And then the same thing with redemption. Now, of course, in this case of redemption, it's a little different in that God the Son is the only one that became man. The Father and the Holy Ghost did not become man. Only God the Son became man. However, even though only God the Son became man, his acts were all equally, or to a certain extent, acts of the Father and the Holy Ghost. He says clearly, our Lord Jesus Christ, whatever I do is in obedience to my Father. So it's clear that every choice of his life was in obedience to his Father. Not only the most important act of going to the crucifixion, but in fact, every act was in obedience to his Father. So that whatever word Christ spoke, and whatever deed that he did, whatever miracle he performed, every single one of them was an act united to the Father. And so that's why he would say to Philip on Holy Thursday night, Philip says to our Lord, show us the Father. And our Lord said back to Philip, 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 how long must I be with you? Do you not know that he who sees me sees the Father? And so everything that Christ says and does is from the Father as regards obedience. But also, it is the Holy Ghost present. So that when the action that Christ does, so you can say that its principle is the Father, the one who acts is the Son, and what is done is the Holy Ghost. And so, a miracle or a sermon. Christ speaks words, the Sermon on the Mount. He says the words that he hears from the Father. Every word comes from the Father that is spoken by the Son. Now, we hear those words. It is the Holy Ghost that carries those words from the mouth of the Son to us. And so that these three are constantly operating in one. So the Father commands the Son. The Son speaks the words of the Sermon on the Mount. Or the Son bleeds upon the cross. Or the Son does whatever miracle that he is doing. And then the Holy Ghost makes the miracle happen. We can say the Holy Ghost is the finishing or the perfecting of the work of the Father and the Son. He is the finishing element of the Father and the Son. And that's just our human way of speaking. But nonetheless, it can be said in a certain way that he's the finishing element. So that he is the one that makes the miracle happen. That puts us into the state of grace. It is the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost who all three live inside of us when we are in the state of sanctifying grace. But it is principally the Holy Ghost that we refer to, which is why we call it the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, because we are sanctified. We are made holy. I, in the state of grace, am made holy. It is the Holy Ghost that actually makes me holy by the redemption of the Son and the command of the Father. But it's still the Holy Ghost that makes me holy. And so we say about this Holy Ghost, some other things, of course, concerning him. And then as regards, that's the Holy Ghost in relation to us, a few words. Now the Holy Ghost in relation to the Father and the Son. And this is a part of the seminary, the what do you call it, that has killed many a seminarian. They say there's two classes that have been death for seminarians, that are the most difficult classes in the seminary. One of them is metaphysics, which we do at the end of philosophy, in which we simply spend 1 year, 7 hours a week studying the word is and what reality is. It's an extremely essential and important class. However, it does cause headaches. We study reality, what the word is. What does is mean? Is an important word. Bill Clinton had a problem with it. But nonetheless, is an important word, because without the proper understanding of those things that are, we can understand nothing correctly. And so metaphysics is extremely important. It's a study of the higher physics or beyond the physics of the substrate that holds all things in existence, the principles. That's one class that kills seminarians, the study of metaphysics. The other one is De Deo Trino. And we'll just do a little bit of De Deo Trino here. There's De Deo Uno and De Deo Trino. De Deo Trino is what we'll discover a little bit here, which means of God the Trinity, of the Blessed Trinity, the study of the Trinity. And so in the Trinity, there is the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Now, there are some heresies about the Holy Ghost that began to be a source of division between the Eastern Church and the Western Church early on, and would eventually develop as the theological excuse. We say excuse because it's not the real reason, but the theological excuse why the Easterns left the Catholic Church officially in the 1000s, in 1054. But in fact, they had left many times previous to that. That was just the final break in 1054. Or it's designated as a final break, when in fact there were many before and many after. But for 1054 is the break, and they break particularly over the doctrine as regards the Holy Ghost. That was the excuse. The real reason for the Eastern Schism was they didn't want to listen to the Pope. It was that simple. Didn't want to obey the Pope. The emperor wanted his own man in charge of the church in the East, and to do what the emperor's bidding was. The Pope did not listen to the emperor's bidding. Therefore, emperor made another man a patriarch of Constantinople, and then that guy had to prove his power against the Pope by holding different doctrines. And this is one of the areas in which there was a dispute, was the doctrine as regards the Holy Ghost. Because of this, this one doctrine that is a heresy is considered part of basic knowledge that all Catholics need to know, and that is that the Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father and the Son. This was the area of debate. The Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father and the Son. The Eastern Orthodox believe that the Holy Ghost proceeds only from the Father. So that's a heresy. For any Catholic to believe that the Holy Ghost proceeds only from the Father, that would be make you not Catholic. It is in the Apostles' Creed. It's in the Creed that he proceeds from the Father and the Son, the Nicene Creed that we read at Mass every Sunday and the Profession of the Faith. He proceeds from the Father and the Son. One of the things that was done after Vatican II, very early on in the East, was simply this filioque. It's one word in Latin, proceeds from the Father and the Son. And it was the word of great dispute back in the 300s. It's called the filioque. And because this word was used so often, even nowadays, it's used in the study of this particular question, people refer to it as the filioque, even in English. So the filioque is the question. It simply means, and the Son. That the Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father and the Son. Now, the Eastern Orthodox believe the Holy Ghost does not proceed from the Son. That the Father, he generates the Son, and then he performs a second act by which he generates the Holy Ghost. And that the Son's connection to the Holy Ghost is only through the Father. That's the belief of the Eastern Orthodox. The Catholic teaching is that if this was the case, God could not be equal. There could be no equality in God. That the Father would have to have something more than the Son and the Holy Ghost. And the reason is, in order, if the Father produces all that He is, and that's the Son, and produces all that He is a second time, it must also be the Son, if it's really and truly everything. But in order for there to be a Son and a Holy Ghost, the Father must produce one half of Himself to be the Son and the other half to be the Holy Ghost. So He would cut Himself down the middle. Half would become the Son, half would become the Holy Ghost. And that would be the way it would work. So that there would be the Son and the Holy Ghost would be subservient to the Father, and there would not be equality in the Trinity. There is perfect equality in the Trinity. That's the infallible Catholic teaching. The Father is not first, the Son is not second, the Holy Ghost is not third. Now, that being the case, the only way that it is possible that there be a perfect equality in the Trinity is if the Father generates the Son, giving all that He is to the Son. So that God the Father is God. He generates all of His divinity, every last drop of it. And what He generates is God the Son. So that there's nothing that the Son has that the Father does not have, and the Father has that the Son does not have. Perfectly and totally one and the same nature. Totally. Now then, the Son returns all that He is in thanksgiving, so to speak. There's no thanksgiving in God, but nonetheless, our way of speaking, He returns all that He is to the Father. And the Father gives all that He is to the Son. So there's this double motion by which the Son gives all that He is to the Father. The Father gives all that He is to the Son. And the gift that is given is God. That's the reason why we call Him the gift. Also, He's called the love, the Holy Ghost. He's the love of the Father and the Son. He's the gift of the Father and the Son. He cannot be called the Holy Ghost, says the Catholic Church, unless He is the holy breath of the Father and the Son, both breathing forth. In this way, there is a perfect and total identity of nature between Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And if that's hard to fully comprehend at the beginning, that's fine. But nonetheless, this is a summary, so to speak. I don't remember all the details of De Deo Trino, but nonetheless, this is a kind of a summary. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Father breathes forth all that He is to the Son breathes forth all that He is to the Father. The breath that is breathed forth is God, and the third person of the Blessed Trinity. Now this creates the phenomenon of circumincession, which is what God does for all eternity. So you can say that word, it makes people think you're smart. That's what does God do for all eternity? He does circumincession, which means He goes around in a circle inside of Himself. So that God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost are constantly being God, which means that for all eternity, God the Father is breathing forth the God the Son. He's generating Him right now. At this very moment, God the Father is generating God the Son. And God the Son is returning the gift to the Father, and the gift is being given, so that there is a present activity in the Blessed Trinity. The Blessed Trinity is not God came into existence eternally forever, which was a real long time ago, and He's been the same for a real long time now, and He'll be the same for even a longer time, and that's forever. That is not the accurate way of looking at it. It is rather eternity. Remember, the best definition of eternity is just two words. Eternity equals always now. There's other definitions, but that's the simplest and best. Always now. That's all that eternity is. Now, God is in eternity. What does that mean? That means that always, at this moment, as well as every moment before and every moment after, God is always, God the Father, is always generating the Son. That's why it says in Psalm 2, "This day I have begotten thee." Many commentators of the sacred scripture talk about that. The eternal generation of the Father. This very day. When did I beget you? Today. At this moment. God the Father generates God the Son. So there is an eternal freshness about the Blessed Trinity. They can never get bored, so to speak, because God the Father is infinitely and eternally giving Himself. God the Son is infinitely and eternally returning Himself to the Father. And God the Holy Ghost is that gift that comes from the Father and the Son and is returning the gift to the Father and the Son, so that there is a constant motion, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Son, Father, a constant circumcision. That's what God God does for all eternity. And so in any case, I think that's sufficient there. But anybody have any questions or comments or complaints? Yeah, so that'll be good. But in any case, so there's just memorized circumcision, the filioque, and so on. And that'll do it for the present. We'll go ahead and close with a prayer here. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. St. Vincent Ferrer, St. Jude, Our Lady of Victory, Our Lady of Sorrows, Lady Help of Christians, St. Ignatius, and the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.